Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be together, to gather around your word. We pray for the gift of your spirit, that it would be present in this place, that it would give life to these words, that it would open our hearts and minds, that we might be shaped and formed as people who are prepared to welcome and follow the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is our Gift of Yes series. We've been exploring over the past few weeks the gift of yes, the people in the story that we celebrate who said yes where they could have said no. We've talked about Mary, we've talked about Joseph, we've talked about the shepherds. We will still talk about the Magi. Today we talk about the gift of God's yes, the way that God says yes to us. Most people say that there's only two versions of the nativity story. There's Matthew's and there's Luke's. I think John tells the nativity story as well. He just tells it in a much more abstract and poetic way. There are not shepherds. There's no magi. There's no star. There's no manger. There's only this sort of cosmic description of what John says happens when Jesus is born. God becomes flesh and lives among us, taking on the fullness of our humanity. We sing in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, if you pay attention to the words and not just mouth them along because you've heard it 100 times. Charles Wesley wrote in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, which is a fancy way of saying that this is no ordinary baby. God is dressed up in human flesh. The creator of all things, the force that animates the universe, takes on the frailty and the vulnerability of the human experience. Now you can, and we do, spend a lot of time thinking about how Jesus is not like us, how Jesus is over and above and so much better than us, how Jesus is capable of so many things that we are not capable of. We see happen in the Gospels that Jesus is faithful and sacrifices in so many places where we could not find ourselves to be faithful or to make those sacrifices. You can spend a lot of time thinking about how Jesus is not like us and not enough time thinking and reflecting on how Jesus is exactly like us. That he had to be potty trained. That occasionally, surely, he had to be reprimanded by his parents. That when he lost people that he loved in his life, he grieved. And that sometimes Jesus got overwhelmed and just needed some time to himself. That occasionally the people that Jesus loved let him down. And so the good news, the miracle of this moment in this season, is the proximity of God to us. This is what John is trying to communicate to us. That in Jesus, something that could not be held by any vessel is limited into the frailty of a human baby. We know that being human is not always an easy thing to be, is it? But God says yes to getting close to us. And the gift of God's yes is the gift of God's presence with us in the midst of our humanity, whatever that means. And so if you will come to God with the fullness of your humanity, if you will own up to all the things that you are feeling and thinking, all the places where you feel incomplete and struggling especially, isn't it also essential for you to understand that God is present with us wherever we are or whatever we are facing? In other words, there is nothing that you can go through that God has not loved us enough to get proximate to us and next to us in the midst of it. So think about when you're in the midst of a struggle or discerning something that's difficult in your life. It could be about parenting. It could be about marriage. It could be about caring for aging parents. It could be about raising a child that has particular needs. It could be making a significant career move. Who do you call in a moment like that except for somebody who's been through it, right? And so because they've been through it, they can be present to you in it. They know how you feel. They don't have sympathy. They have empathy. And that's what the incarnation is. It's God's willingness to feel what it is that we feel. To so limit God's self in the interest of being close to you and me, so that there is intimacy, there is empathy here. And so what John talks about, when this veil is torn between heaven and earth, and the one through whom all things were created comes into the earth, God is no longer spiritual, God is no longer distant, God is no longer disembodied. God is as close to us as the nearest mortal, frail human being. So God's yes is a yes to a love that shows up, that stands with us, that gets close to us. But what we also know is that during this season, rates of depression and anxiety are high. ...53% of people report feeling stress related to their finances and spending at this time of year. 38% of people said their stress level goes up during the holidays. In an American Psychological Association survey, majority of people in the survey said they feel happiness, love, and high spirits over the holidays, but those emotions often are accompanied by feelings of fatigue, stress, irritability, and sadness. One survey I read said that 1 in 4 people get through the holiday season and feel a letdown. And I wonder how much of this has to do with the expectations that we create for ourselves. Now, my favorite Christmas movie is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which 9 o'clock was very surprised to hear was their pastor's favorite Christmas movie. I don't know why they were surprised by that. But the premise of the whole movie is the folly of our expectations. I have in mind the scene where Clark's wife is trying to talk him down from this good old-fashioned family Christmas that he has planned in his mind, that everything is going to go smoothly and everything is going to be idyllic and it's going to be like all of those Christmases that he remembers as being perfect from years past. And she says to him, Clark, it's just you build things up in your mind. You set standards that no family gathering can live up to. And the whole rest of the movie is about how things don't happen the way he hopes. And he pours out his angst and frustration about things not happening the way he had hoped in all kinds of terrible ways. Hilarious, but terrible ways. And what he really wants is togetherness. He wants the connectedness that we all crave between us and those that we love. And what's funny about the movie is that it's true, right? The best comedy is rooted in truth. It's true because we all know that feeling of wanting to be connected and have things be just right between those and those we love. And we have that expectation, and then we miss the fact that actually it's human beings who are involved. And that gatherings between human beings are rarely perfect. So I wonder if all those statistics have, at least in part, about the expectations that we've created for this time of year. We spend time looking for the perfect holiday gift for every person that we buy for. And we have this desire, we want to give. We want them to know how much we love them. We want them to be happy and to be joyful. We want to demonstrate our love for the people in our lives. And so what we do is we reach for one more thing or spend that much more money, and we overspend. And I wonder how often we build up family gatherings in our minds. They've just been dysfunctional for the past 30 years. But this year, somehow, it's going to be different. It's going to be like the ones that we see in the commercials on television or at the end of the Hallmark movie. I wonder if our disappointment, if our frustration, if our letdown has to do with the standard of cheeriness that's set by the culture around us. Because if you turn on the radio, there's a certain level of cheeriness that's there in all of the music, isn't it? And you go into public or downtown and you see decorations or lights, or you see more, hear more music, and it's all at one pitch. The reality is that this time of year is a time when a spotlight is shined on our grief over those that we've lost, and when we feel pain of relationships that have not turned out like we hoped they would. And that all of that is part of our experience too. So I wonder if we're feeling this letdown because we're trying to fill a fundamental need with things that are not capable of filling that need. Because what we want most is to be connected with each other, is to feel present with each other, to be next to each other, to feel loved in an incarnational way. Just to know that we are not alone is what we all really want. And so I think sometimes the best thing that we could give to each other is the gift of our presence. Not showing up and tolerating one another, but showing up and being present even in the midst of the imperfection that comes with it. Being incarnational in the way that God is incarnational. Getting down to the messiness of it and showing up and bringing our whole selves, the good parts and the broken parts too. I think we underrate the presence, the gift of presence, of showing up. In the beginning of this series, those of you who were around the beginning of this series, we talked about Mary's yes, and I talked about how when Mary says yes to some things, it means that she has to say no to other things. So if you're going to be saying yes to showing up, it also means that you might have to say no to some stuff that you are sure you have to do, but are really just burdens that you're saying yes to out of some kind of obligation or trying to fill some need in your heart or in someone else's heart that thing was never capable of filling in the first place. So to say yes to showing up means to saying no to some things that are really just burdens so I can be present. This week when our elders met, we read a reflection that was written by popular author Glennon Doyle. And she talks about a time right near Christmas where both her grandmother was dying and her niece was being born at the same time. And she went to visit with her mother and her grandmother, and she held her mother as her mother evaporated into her arms and wept over the loss of her mother. And then she went to be with her sister, who put her new niece in her arms, who was named for her grandmother, and then she evaporated from carrying the whole thing. And she talked about praying attention. A way of showing up that is intentional and incarnational. That when I show up, I bring the fullness of myself. I am here in this moment. Not just for the stuff that you want to show me, but also for the stuff you are carrying. And then I'm going to bring the fullness of myself. Not just the stuff that I think you might be willing to accept, but I'm going to bring the fullness, the part of me that's happy and cheerful and the part of me that is just so brokenhearted about who's missing from my table this year. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote, she says, God's yes depends on our saying yes. God's birth requires human partners, a Mary, a Joseph, a you, and a me, willing to believe the impossible, willing to claim the scandal, to adopt it and give it our own names, accepting, this is my favorite part, the whole sticky mess, and rocking it in our arms. God says yes to us. God says yes to our whole sticky mess. The mess of being human shows us that this is what love is. It doesn't necessarily have a price tag, doesn't necessarily look perfect, may not be exactly what you went out to get. But showing up prayerfully, attentively to one another is the gift that God gives to us And by God's grace, makes it possible for us to give to one another. So I want you to think as you're leaving this place, and there's a million and one things that you are sure have to be done between now and Wednesday. Things that have to be baked, things that have to be cooked, things that have to be wrapped, cards that haven't been sent yet. Think of a way that maybe you can say yes to being present and no to some burdens that have nothing to do with the incarnate, full love of God and its broken and beautiful humanity. Amen.